Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll get to Ask D. Mace in 30 minutes. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get your calls, we'll get your texts, all of your questions for D. Mace. So TD was on with Jared Stillman yesterday on Stillman & Company for the TD Power Hour. And, of course, Tyrone Davenport is in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. And we know that the Combine, or really kind of the Senior Bowl, is really the start of talking season. And the Combine really starts to ramp up talking season, or maybe cloak and dagger season, as we can affectionately call it. Like exactly. We said earlier this week when we heard from Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan at the Combine, they were talking a whole lot about receivers. That begged the question, okay, are they going to take a receiver, or does that mean they're taking a tackle because they're talking so much about the receivers? Cloak and dagger season, deception season, lying season, that is what we are very much so in as far as the NFL calendar goes. There's a lot of talking, a whole lot of gossip, a whole lot of tea, if you will, that is spilled at the NFL Combine. So what kind of tea has TD been hearing at the NFL Combine? This was TD on the TD Power Hour yesterday.
You know, obviously, they got a preview, right, of what the Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow connection would be like because they saw it in college. So it is a different grading scale, so to speak. But I do know that, you know, you look at Keon Coleman, Florida State. He's a guy I would keep an eye on. I don't think at seven, but I think, you know, in that bottom half of the first round, or kind of at the top of the second, if he should be there. You know, the Chiefs at 32, the 49ers at 31, like those are areas where I could see there being a possibility that they go get him if he's not there. But, you know, that's not coming from the team itself. It's coming from other, you know, people that I've spoken to out here. So don't be surprised there. But, yeah, I mean, offensive line early, Fashanu or you know, Joe Alt are there. I would imagine they would be the pick. And you are right as far as the viewing neighbors, Odunze as elite, like super elite. And that's not to say that they don't think that they're good players, but Ja'Marr Chase is super elite. He himself is probably the best. I think he's a better prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr. So, you know, that just kind of speaks to where a lot of people are with him, you know, when you talk about Odunze and neighbors.
We know that things change. I think receivers work out today at the Combine. So we still have the Combine. We still have pro days. We still have a long time to go throughout the pre-NFL draft process. But what Brian Callahan told us was, all things equal, we went with the elite touchdown scorer. But that's not necessarily the case, or might not necessarily be the case, that all things will be equal in this year's NFL draft, like TD says there. Rome Odunze and Malik Nabers might not be those elite touchdown scorers or such special players like Ja'Marr Chase was coming out of college and obviously has been in the NFL. So just based off of kind of what TD has been hearing, it sounds like early left tackle, maybe with the 7th overall pick, addressing receiver later, maybe with the 38th overall pick. TD brings up Keon Coleman, the receiver from Florida State, which I know D-Mace probably just kills you that he used to wear a green and white uniform and then went to Florida State. If that is how things pan out, left tackle, Fashanu or Joe Alt at 7, maybe a Keon Coleman or an A.D. Mitchell or a Brian Thomas at 38, we have any problems with that?
If indeed they can't get their tackle, that's what you're saying. Or you're saying they
if they address tackle at 7.
Oh, okay.
And address receiver later in the draft, with maybe that second tier of receivers below Odunze, Nabers, and
it depends on I think there are enough good wide receivers out there in college football. If you have him ranked high enough, after you've went and addressed one position, which is the left tackle, you get in the second round, and one of these receivers, whether it's Keon Coleman or someone else, if you got them ranked on your board that high, then why not go get them? Unless there's a cornerback that you rank higher and he's sitting there waiting for you, a guy that probably projected to be a late first rounder, and for some reason he gets out of the first round and you have him right there, you know, in the second round, kind of sort of like the Derrick Henry deal where You know, many predicted him as a first rounder, possibly late first rounder. Well, he got out of the first round. There was an opportunity for you to take him, and you took him because he probably was the highest ranked guy on your board. You didn't think he would be around that late in the draft. Well, if you come back around and you draft your tackle, and there's a receiver there, but then there's a corner there, which one do you have ranked higher? Because they're both are a position of need. Do we take the pass catcher to, you know, help complement D-Hop and Traylon or whoever else and helps the quarterback moving forward? Do we take that guy, or do we take the cornerback that's rated a little bit higher that is also a position of need? That's what they got to decide. But no, I'm not, you know, if they choose to take a receiver in the second round, then that's because it's a position of need, and it would be a good player that you have ranked in the second round.
I think that's the important thing to consider is year to year, let's just rank, let's say, the top three receivers this year as opposed to the top three receivers in just pick another year. The ratings of those three guys could vary a lot, right, based on the same scout's evaluation. That's where you have to make sure that you're calculating that accordingly and not just saying, we want the best receiver out there. We're going to take the best receiver that's there. Because that receiver may not be graded nearly as high as the third best receiver 5 years ago. And I think that's the point that Teron was making with Chase. Like, Chase was an exceptional guy. When you're choosing him over Odunze, it was just Chase was that good that they're like, man, I just cannot pass up on that. I don't know how they feel about the guys in the first round that could be there at seven now, but it sounds like Teron's not quite as wild on them right now.
That's what it sounds like, and that's why when we were talking with Brian Callahan earlier this week, I asked him, you saw Jamar Chase as an elite touchdown scorer. Are these guys elite touchdown scorers? And, of course, he didn't answer that question. He said, I haven't watched the college tape. I don't know how much I buy that.
Cap.
But yeah, okay, sure. But if you don't view them as elite touchdown scorers and you view Fashanu, Joe Alt, whoever, as elite left tackles, then that's the position that you go if you can feel like you can get a really solid player, a solid receiver in the second round.
The trick is, what if the highest rated player you have is not a tackle or wide receiver? That's when you really get into a dilemma, right?
But if that's the highest rated player you have, take them. Like, what if it's an? What if it's?
Well, that's where we talked
Dallas
about Bowers or
yeah.
You know, other players that could be there that it just you're not thinking that because every Titans fan's like, man, we've got to fix that offensive line, or man, we could use a receiver. But that would be the tough part, I think. And I don't know how they grade the board right now.
And this team just needs good players. And yes. I know they need a left tackle.
There's plenty of places you could find a place, you know, for a great player.
Yeah, like I am just in the market for good players. But another thing that TD touched on with Jared, he said it's likely that even if the Titans do go left tackle with the first pick in the first round and they go receiver in the second round, receiver's still probably a position of need that you're going to have to address in free agency. So who is that? Will Levis was on RG3's podcast, actually, of all things. I was giving it a listen. He was talking about Mike Vrabel and how excited he is about Brian Callahan. But RG3 asked him about his interest in a free agent receiver. This is what Will Levis had to say.
Your new offensive coordinator, Nick Holtz. He had a guy that's a free agent wideout, right? Right now, named Calvin Ridley. So Nick understands like how dynamic a guy like Calvin Ridley is and how he can add to the passing game. And I'm sure there might be some belief that maybe, just maybe, Calvin Ridley would want to come and follow the guy that called plays for him to be a 1,000-yard receiver last year. What would your pitch be for Calvin Ridley to come to Tennessee Titans?
I mean, he's definitely an awesome player, and I got to see it firsthand, him torch us a couple times. And we definitely it would be cool to have someone of his caliber out there playing. And I'm sure that he's comfortable with Holtz, and he obviously had his best year, you know, with him last year. And it'd be cool to definitely play with him, and who knows, maybe link up in the offseason, get some balls in the air, and see what we can make happen. But it's not me making a decision.
I understand.
I don't really have any pull, but I don't care if I'm never have a shot of playing with him. I'd still like to throw him some balls. So that'd be fun.
I don't know if I put that
like
a,
did they have like five?
Was that a robot, an AI?
A couple of Celsius with the Ryan Tannehill stash.
I may have been recording that clip on 1.5 speed because that's how I was listening to it.
Goodness.
So that That's on me, but we get the gist.
We get it. We get it. I still get the gist. I do that sometimes. Sometimes you got limited time, right? You got to hear what they're saying. Let's get to it.
I got a lot of things to listen to. We got places to go, people to see. 1.5 speed,
things
people.
To do, man. Come on.
Got to hurry it up. But obviously, Nick Holtz was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, passing coordinator with the Jags this past year. Calvin Ridley with the Jags this past year. One thing that I've noticed with Will Levis, he has fabulous media training. Like, he is not going to give you anything. He's going to give you the right answer, the political answer, the quarterback answer of course, he's a great player, but it's not up to me, and I trust the organization. But I'll translate that into quarterback ease. Of course he wants Calvin Ridley. What
more pass catchers, the better.
I'd love to have Jerry Rice and Calvin Ridley and Steve Largent and Wes Welker. Like, just go down the list. I'll take them all.
Give me every receiver that excels at catching the football.
Tyreek Hill, I'll take him.
We'll take them all. But
what is Ridley really going to be out there?
Yeah, there is speculation that they may not be able to sign him back because of the structure of their salary cap.
Huh.
They may not be able to sign
him back. Could he be a true cap casualty?
He could be a guy that they – it's not necessarily that, but he's going to command – close to $30 million.
Huh, okay.
So, you know, are you going to pay him close to $30 million if you're Jacksonville? I mean, I don't know. He was one of your better receivers that you had on your team. He was the most explosive receiver after, what you call it, gets hurt. Who got hurt for Jacksonville?
Christian Kirk?
Yeah, Christian Kirk. After Christian Kirk got hurt, he became like your most valuable weapon in the passing game. So he's going to command anywhere, I think, north of 25 per year, 23. What did T. Higgins sign his tender for?
Well, see, T. Higgins is on the tag.
Yeah, how much did he sign his franchise tag for?
It's in the 20s. I think it's in the low 20s. Mm-hmm. So that I think that'll be different.
Mm-hmm. I'm just comparing that one, like, okay, the franchise tag is an average of the top, what, five or three at the position, and they average it out.
I don't know why 26 is coming to my mind.
Mm-hmm. But I think it would be north of $25 million that you would have to pay him. And I'm thinking closer to 30 than anything.
30 steep. I don't think Calvin Ridley is a $30 million receiver.
He's young. To me, Calvin Ridley is a damn good receiver.
Is he? He's almost 30.
He's been out a year, so you got to take that away. It took a year off.
No mileage.
Exactly.
29.
No car's been in the garage for a year.
Exactly. He's been in the garage for a year. He hasn't had an injury.
Tyreek Hill is 30, and I don't think Calvin Ridley's Tyreek Hill.
No, he's not, but Tyreek Hill is going to command over 30, close damn near 40, you know.
40?
A young Tyreek Hill. Like, if Tyreek Hill, after, say he...
Like Justin Jefferson, for example.
Okay, that's more of a comparable. Yeah. Justin Jefferson, because he's young. Justin Jefferson is going to reset the market. Justin Jefferson is going to get close to $40 million per year on his deal. So if you're giving Justin Jefferson close to $40 million, I would say it would be closer to $30 million for Calvin Ridley. I'm not saying that Calvin Ridley is Jefferson, no way, no how. But he does have a skill set that the Titans are missing and that other teams around the league are missing. He has speed. He can get down the field. He catches the ball really well. Good body control. These are things that teams are looking for, and he's proven he can play in this league at a high level. It baffled me why the Titans didn't make a move for him when they had a chance to, because Jacksonville got him for the cheap.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You've liked Ridley.
I've always liked him coming out of college.
But I asked myself the question, if he's – like, Jacksonville should be in a window where they're trying to win. They should be saying, hey, last year, I don't know what happened down the stretch, but we messed that up, but we should have a good team.
Yeah.
Why would they – my first question would be, like, why would they let a guy like that go? I know you're saying he's good, but that's why the $30 million, they clearly don't think he's worth – that, because they should be able to. Now, I'm sure they're starting to get a cap crunch like some teams have.
I think it has to do with the deal with Atlanta. that they traded a third round pick to Calvin Ridley. And I think that in his contract, there was a clause of if he gets signed to that next deal, that third round pick turns into a second round pick.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
So I think it's a less of a cap issue because he's only making $11 million against the cap. Like if your number one or number two receiver is making $11 million against the cap, like.
But that was just a pickup from Atlanta. That contract was a pickup from Atlanta, right?
Yes, and he would be assigned to that new contract.
Yeah, new deal.
But
yeah.
I don't think that your deal is going to jump from 11 to 30.
But that what I'm saying is that was a contract that Atlanta has signed him to. Because Jacksonville, at least I may be wrong on this one, but did Jacksonville sign him to a new deal? I don't think they signed him to a new deal. I just think they sort of picked up the contract. Because you got to remember, Atlanta didn't cut him. They just put him
they traded.
Yeah, they traded him, but they put him on the exempt list, so they still had his rights, his contract, and everything. And then when they traded for him, that contract just went to Jacksonville. So Jacksonville didn't have to sign a new contract. Am I understanding that wrong? That's what
it would be his fifth-year option that he played under. I believe, if I'm understanding this correctly, he would play under his fifth – or either a fifth-year option or a tag this past season because he played 4 years with the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And then that year that he was out, and then this next year, and he was a first-round pick, so he would have had that fifth-year option.
So what I'm saying, contract froze?
Yeah,
the contract. For the 1 year when he was suspended?
I believe so.
Okay. So the $11 million has no bearings on what you got to pay me moving forward, other than what you said. If they re-sign him to any deal, then it goes from being a third-round pick to a first-round pick,
second.
Right? Second-round pick.
Yeah, so that would have been a conditional
pick. And that's why Jacksonville is so hesitant to sign him back because they don't want to give up that second round pick.
Yes. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would
still
be
still sounds a little expensive.
Ridley.
$30 million.
I don't think it would be 30.
I'm telling you, it's going to be close to $30 million.
I don't because just
the price
right
is going
now
up for some of these guys.
Yeah, it's
Tyreek
not about
Hill makes 30. Right?
I know, but you got to understand
at the top of the market?
When Tyreek Hill signed that deal.
But he was making top of the market money. That
yes.
was the richest contract that mm-hmm. a receiver had ever signed.
Exactly.
I don't think that this next receiver contract with Jefferson is going to jump $10 million.
Oh yeah,
it'll jump.
Oh yeah, it is.
Why?
Because the way they view, they are not letting Justin Jefferson get out of that building.
I agree.
He's going
they
to
would
be
dumb yeah. if they did.
He's going to grossly reset the receiver market. That's why guys like Chase probably don't want to sign right now.
Uh-huh.
Who else
sure.
is out
I
there?
Totally understand
there are
that.
Other guys out there that probably don't want to sign a huge contract because they know Justin Jefferson is the guy that's going to reset the market.
And then whenever Jamar Chase signs, he's uh-huh. going to reset the
exactly.
market 100%, totally. I just don't know if it's going to be as drastic of a jump of 30 is the market to now it's 40.
It's going to be close to it, I'm telling you. It's going to be because it's not everybody else. It's Minnesota. Minnesota don't want him getting out of the building. And if we got to play him close to, you know, let's just say north of 35. If we got to play him north of 35, then that's what we're going to do if we don't want him to get out the building, which it seems Minnesota don't want him getting out the building.
Oh, and I'm Minnesota, I'm not letting Justin Jefferson walk. I just don't know if there's a team in the NFL that would pay him close to 40.
There's always one team.
A player.
It's always one team. That's all it takes.
So the theme here that I hone in on is if the rate that you got to pay mm-hmm. an established free agent wide receiver is going up, which it is, whether it's 30 million or 25.
Yeah.
Then you have to consider the other variables. How does that guy fit in with your offense? Mm-hmm. And Ridley's a talent for sure. I can buy the T. Higgins idea, maybe not this year with mm-hmm. the tag, but maybe next year when he probably hits the market. I know there's a relationship there. Callahan knows that he's a fit, knows how to use him. That to me is a safer investment a little bit. There's always risk. As opposed to throwing money at a talent that's been in two different spots. He's got the connection with Holes, I know, but I don't know. That seems steep. That's a lot on the line. And is your roster ready to win? The biggest reason would be a young quarterback needs weapons. But what do you do with D-Hop then? Do you try to trade him or?
No, I think you just you keep both of them.
So you're just spending all your money on wide receivers and not addressing. You're going to
it would be one wide receiver. It would just be one wide receiver, not all.
You draft a receiver, you would pick up a Calvin Ridley, and then you would have a first or second round receiver.
And then
Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins.
Burks? Like we're blocking Burks.
Well, I think if they got Calvin Ridley. If they got Calvin Ridley, I can't see them then unless in the second round. Like I said before, they have a receiver ranked high than say another position at need. If they were to sign a Calvin Ridley, to me receiver falls a little bit further down the line. Now I draft a tackle in the first round, then I can go back and possibly either address two positions, either address the cornerback position, which I do think they need to address. To me, it's offensive line, cornerback, and then receiver. But you can either address the cornerback position or the inside linebacker position. One of the two you can address because now you've gotten your receiver in free agency who you think is going to be with your team at least the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to, I think, do both.
Yeah.
Address the receiver position in the draft and address the receiver position in free agency. They're going to have to pay for a receiver.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get into some Ask D-Mace coming up next. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Eric?
Hey, before I get to this, D-Mace, I got a joke for you. This is one I heard recently. You might like this. So, what is the difference between love and marriage?
Al Bundy.
No.
No, because that's old love and marriage. Okay. No, yeah. Tell me.
Well, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener.
Oh, this is what I didn't got into. Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I thought you might like that. Anyway, my question is this. And you guys may have already discussed this, I don't know, but I saw on the call this morning, it appears that a lot of people thought this was coming, that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to release Kevin Byard. And I'm not saying he's coming back to the Titans. I don't think that's going to happen. But do you see anybody else maybe taking a chance of picking him up, or do you think there's a possibility nobody does, or he just himself may decide to retire? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Guys, good to talk to you guys. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you for your call,
it.
Eric. We've got about 15 texts in the text line. Should the Titans get Kevin Byard?
It's up to Kevin Byard, I think, in regards to his play moving forward. I'm not sure he's going to be in the first wave of free agency signed. He may not even be in the second wave because I heard this day before yesterday, watching one of the sports shows. And I think Tim may have said it when it was on ESPN. When you get cut once, it's easier for them to cut you again. It's true. Once a team cuts you, it's easier. Whatever next team you go to, it's a little bit easier for that team to cut you as well.
That next team
to cut you. If Philadelphia end up cutting him, releasing him, and they have troubles in the secondary, the next team is probably thinking like, he's lost. He hasn't fell off the cliff, but it's damn sure close to it. So other teams may look at him as a sort of not the first wave, not the second wave, but he's more so of that July signing right before camp, or maybe after as someone gets hurt. And then you sign. Maybe that's and maybe Kevin may do it that way too. Like, listen, I don't see anything out there because now he's in a great position as a player. He's made his money. He has his security. Now he can just sit back and sort of wait on a team that he wants to potentially go to. He's not in a rush to sign. You know, he's going to go through the first wave, probably the second wave. Now I'm just sitting back. Okay, which team may need a veteran safety? A guy gets hurt in camp. Now I have an opportunity. You will be the top on everybody's list because your knowledge of the game. You still have something left, and you can help a locker room from a veteran standpoint, a leadership standpoint. So he may be that July guy, August guy that gets signed because someone got hurt. And then again, it could be up to, like I said, it could be solely up to him. Like, listen, I'm not doing anything. I'm not in a rush to do anything. Hell, I can retire if I want to. So I think this period in this phase of his career, a lot of it is up to him in regards to, you know, where do I want to sign? There are only going to be a few teams, but amongst those few teams, which one would I like to be on? One that gives me an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Looks pretty smart that they traded him at this point.
Because exactly.
When we were talking about this a year ago, I know there was a lot of shock to Titans fans. Like, would you ask him to take a pay cut?
Because the Titans were going to do the same thing.
This would have happened to the Titans, right, if they had kept him. He's hitched to that contract. It's a high dollar figure to pay a safety. But now that he's cut and he can sign a new deal, now he could be a bargain for somebody.
Exactly.
That for the right team. That's what he's got going for him.
There'll be a team out there that'll sign him to, you know, maybe a 2-year deal that you can get out of after a year.
It'll be strictly a 1-year deal.
It's not gonna be an overwhelming dollar amount because he is.
Could be a nice veteran
to
somebody.
Of his career.
You don't have to put the whole defense on his shoulders anymore. He could be a role player almost. And a nice role player.
As much as I love Kevin Byard, the Titans don't need to go out and re-sign Kevin Byard.
No.
Like, if he wants to retire here, we can have that conversation. I mean, that's fine. Yeah. But the Titans don't need to go re-sign players that they already traded because you don't need
because
to go down that road.
You drafted him, and I get it, but you don't need to try to re-sign him.
Matthew in Nashville, Texan, says, I think all of us can agree that the NFL Network and NFL scouts who haven't seen Joe Milton before will all lose their minds this weekend, thus creating an enormous hype wave for the draft. My question is, agree or disagree that it would be foolish for any NFL GM to waste a draft pick on Joe, given his wildly inaccurate and poor decision-making at UT? I can't tell if this is a Vanderbilt fan or an angry Tennessee fan.
It could be both. you know, would I be looking to sign him with my first five picks? No. Like first five rounds. If I have one pick per round, no, I'm not looking to sign him. But he could be, he's a project. That's what he is. He has some tools you cannot teach. But he has deficiencies in areas that a guy that had been in college that long and was given every opportunity to be a starter and you couldn't. That tells me those things that you should have been working on, and I'm not saying he wasn't, you didn't get better at him. That team looked bad with him at quarterback at times. I mean, really bad. Do you take a flyer on him in the sixth round? Yeah, there's a possibility. There's somebody, some GM out there is going to say, man, that kid can throw the ball through the gym. Let's take him. Let's send him on a bench for about 2-3 years, develop him, and then see what we have. Because if he works out, everybody's cheering. But if he doesn't, it was a 6th-7th round pick. So let it go, you know?
The most telling thing for me, yesterday I was talking with someone who hosts a draft radio show, like does this for a living. I asked him about Joe Milton. He said, well, he has a beautiful smile. I was like, okay.
Okay, I'll
right.
pass on.
Like, yeah, he's got a great personality. Like, you said all you needed to say. Got it. Understood. And he does have beautiful teeth. I will give him
Did
that.
Did they say he had a – oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's all they can come up with?
He's a beautiful smile, great guy, great personality.
I just would be surprised if he got drafted. Like, I think
he'd
be one of the first
Would you be surprised if he got drafted?
A little bit. I just think he'd be
Willie,
one of the first
considering some of the people that have gotten drafted. Yeah,
that's a fair that's a fair, you know, point. But I see guys like the Titans have drafted a couple here. I can't remember one of them's name. One of them's name was Falk, I think.
Yeah,
and then the other one was McDonald, right? They got drafted and never made the team. They got cut the very first training camp.
Like
you took a draft pick on this guy and he's not even making the team. I could see that happening with Milton. But mm-hmm. if he's a free agent, then I'm giving him a call and saying, "Come on down." Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I would want to take the throw at the dartboard on my limited tosses while the draft's going on.
Well, okay. Well, if you are a
free agent, that's another story.
Okay, if you are a team that has, you know, in the seventh round, you have 10 picks in all seven. Like, you got 10 picks in this year's NFL draft. Seventh round, you still got a pick or two left. Don't y'all wouldn't take a chance?
That's not
on,
a very glowing endorsement. If but I I'm just 10 saying, picks, no, no, I what, might think no, about no, taking
but,
you
but what I'm
round.
Saying is this.
No, I
if
hear you,
if
I
have
you.
Limited picks, then more than likely I am not going to draft him because I only have limited picks and I need to get some guys, whether they're special team guys or not. I need to get them in my building. But if I have 9 picks and he's sitting there, okay.
He's There's also about to turn 24.
Let's take a flyer on him.
But the 2 or 3 year thing, then we're talking he's 26, 27.
But that don't apply to quarterbacks anymore.
I don't know.
The age thing really don't apply.
Should. I think it should. It doesn't, but I think it should. Like Hendon Hooker, how long is it going to be before he gets a chance
probably
to play?
28.
He's going to be 38 years old. He's almost ready. He's 38.
Knee's almost
the knee is good.
I think there's going to be a general manager that talks himself
exactly.
into Milton because he's got an
Maybe.
Absolute cannon of
cannon.
An arm.
Did you see him throw that orange, guys? Come on, we got to draft him.
Freaking orange. The number of Tennessee fans that got all mad at me because I said, who gives a crap how far you can throw an orange? They're like, well, you're just a hater. I'm like, oh, is he going to be throwing oranges for a living? Like, no.
Can we throw throwing oranges in games now?
Yeah, like, oh, is that what he's going to do? Then great. Yeah, sign him to $1 million deal because he can launch an orange 120
exactly.
yards downfield. But there's going to be a GM that talks mm-hmm. themselves into it that, hey, we can work with the arm. When it's 4th and 32, I know exactly who I'm going to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Joe Milton because he's the one that can lob the ball downfield. And I do think that there are kind of two different ways that GMs might look at the 24-year-old quarterbacks that are coming out. Mm-hmm. One, it would be, well, are we going to re-sign him to his second deal when he's 28, 29 years old? Or you could look at it like he's 24 and he's taken a lot of meaningful snaps at the college level and he could be ready. I wouldn't do it. Mm. But general managers do crazy things.
Yeah.
More Ask D. Mace coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Hey, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on Sam Houston on the road. Pre-game at 7:30 p.m. Tip-off at 8 with coverage also available on 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Ask D. Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Get back into your questions. One texter texts in and asks D. Mace, are the two offensive linemen that got released by the Rams worth bringing in?
You know, ironically, we were just talking about the center that got released. He was a Spartan. So, listen, if you put a Spartan on your team, Tennessee, you're bound to do well. I mean, it's just history.
You will get no complaints from D. Mace.
History says it, whether it's Lorenzo White, myself, right tackle but for Cleveland,
Jack Conklin.
So whether it's Lorenzo White, myself, or Jack Conklin, when you have a Spartan on your team starting, you're gonna do good. So you
just
might as well
about
go
those green and whites.
Absolutely. So I guess that's something that, you know, you need to kick the tires on because you need a center. I think you need a veteran center.
Brian Allen is the one
that
you're touching on,
and he was a damn good center of state too. He was one of the rocks on that offensive line during his years. I think he might have been a starter his freshman year, if I recall. But he's a good player. But he has dealt with injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to take that into consideration if you're signing him, but. They're going to need a guy that has played a lot of snaps. He was the starting center for that Super Bowl team for the Rams. A guy that's played a lot of snaps. And a guy, frankly, that's bigger than what you had at that position.
Well, that's not really the highest threshold.
Yeah, you're right, because he was about 215. Aaron Brewer was about 215 pounds.
Do you remember that picture? I think Derrick Henry took them all out to dinner in Vegas when he was wearing his sex pants, and I was like, "Who? Who is that? Who is that guy?" Uh-huh. I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's Aaron Brewer. He's like the same size as the running backs."
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, they need a bigger center. They don't.
They do need
that
a bigger
doesn't
center.
Wear sex pants.
Derrick Henry was wearing the sex pants. Oh.
I thought you were going to talk about. I thought you were talking about. Did that mean skinny and the pants? Sex Panther.
Yeah. Does that mean skinny jeans?
No, it was a pair of like tacky cargo pants that said sex all over it.
For real?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! I thought you were just saying because they were tight and but they actually said that on there.
All over
oh,
it.
Oh Lord!
Like
good
patches
Lord,
all
boy.
Over it. But long story short, I saw a picture of Aaron Brewer. I didn't even know who it was because I was like, who is that? Like a backup running back? No, it was Aaron Brewer, and he was so small.
Yeah, that tells you need a bigger center.
Now this is a sad question, but could you be wearing the sex pants and Sex Panther from Anchorman? How 80% dangerous?
80% of the time.
It works
every time.
And how do those percentages change when you add the sex pants?
It has to go up.
Oh, it's got to go up. It's got to go up. Analytics department, let's look into that one.
It is not subliminal messaging there.
Not at all.
Oh, man, that would get people's attention.
Yeah, so, but going out and getting another center, you have to do it now. What guy you go out and get, you know, it's determined by who's out there at free agency. Because, again, whether, you know, you get them now, and I think Rand talked about this, or Brian, there's three waves to free agency. There's the initial free agency, and then there's another period in there where you can sign guys. And then, you know, that June, mid-June, late June into July, then there are going to be other guys that get cut that you can then bring on your team. Good players, not guys that are getting cut because they can't play, but guys that are getting cut because maybe they are a little bit older and making too much money.
That was something that Chad Brinker said philosophically he likes. He says, I don't want to overpay at the for the first day of free agency, first wave, that often. I don't want to have to rely on that. He said Costco. He says the cap casualties – we are going to look heavy into there. So there's Allen, and I don't know if this is the other guy that the texter is referring to, Joe Noteboom, who was scheduled to count like $20 million against the cap. So he would be a big hit against it. So that he could be a cap casualty there. I don't know much about his game.
Because I know Brian Allen lost his job, and he was an expensive backup.
Yeah.
His team cannot afford expensive backups. This team can't afford backups, especially on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. We saw how that went this past season. I'm willing to dish out the cash for experienced veteran offensive linemen. Obviously not too old. Brian Allen thinks he's like 28. But potential free agent offensive linemen, I'm willing to dish out some cash for. That's an important position. And we saw what happens when you go in the cheap on the offensive line. Another.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not pretty.
No, it's not.
It's up the budget there.
Yeah.
Ben Texan says, my question is, was there a team in the draft process that said they were going to draft you but didn't?
I'm trying to think because I talk with Pittsburgh a lot, talk with Philadelphia. So in my mind, and with talking with them, I thought it was going to be one of those two teams, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. And obviously it wasn't. But, again, I go back to sometimes teams don't have to talk to you. And they see you on the board and they got you ranked high at that particular position and they draft you. And I'm sure that's probably what happened with the Titans with me. At that in that round, at that number, the 98th pick, I was the highest guy on their board at that particular time, and they drafted me. Because, again, I never had a conversation with them, ever.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm trying to sit and think. No, I know, even during the combine, I talked with the Giants, because I remember going to the room with Tom Coughlin for a minute. I think he was with the Giants. He wasn't with the Giants. Whoever he was with, I ended up talking with him for a minute. And then, like I said, Philly and Pittsburgh. because there were ties with Pittsburgh and then Philly. But the Titans, no. Not that I remember anyway.
Another texter texts in, says, D-Mays, could you work your number 7 into getting Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, and Xavier Leggett, the number 30, 38, and number 70 ranked wide receivers?
It depends on who wants to move up to that 7th pick. And the only reason they're going to move up to that 7th pick is a quarterback that they see that they want that has dropped, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I don't expect either one of them really to drop to this, you know, to drop to a position where the Titans are sitting at 7 and one of those quarterbacks are there. It can happen. A lot of things have happened. Some teams have talked themselves into taking a player. So if he's there, if one of those quarterbacks are there, May or Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy's there and somebody's talking themselves into J.J. McCarthy, then yeah, if they want to move out, if you want that player so bad, then these are the things that you have to give me in return. I move down in the draft, but I'm not moving too far because I still want to be able to get my guy that I need and guys that I need at other positions moving, you know, as I move down the draft.
I also don't need if you need to take – I don't know if you need to take 3 receivers.
No, you don't need to take 3 receivers. I don't think – after Neighbors, however you rank them, Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Neighbors, Harrison, Adunze, however you rank them, they all will be gone about time the 10th pick hit, I believe. I think after that, there is a drop-off, a little drop-off, where you could potentially get those guys. Now, what you got to worry about with Keon Coleman, and because their quarterback did get hurt until the last 2 weeks of the season, right?
It was a bowl. No, I take that back. It was not the bowl game. It was the game before the Florida game.
Exactly.
So the second to last game of the season.
Absolutely. So you had your quarterback in place basically the whole season. He only had 2 100-yard games. And, you know, he made some highlight catches, some unreal catches, but I don't think the consistency was there. And that this is what teams are going to start looking at now with guys like Keon Coleman. Big frame, guy that can go up and get the ball, a good player, but you had your quarterback. Why were your numbers not as consistent as they should have been? Especially compared to the top 3 receivers that are going to go in this year's draft.
Fair question.
Yeah, why were your numbers, you know, so inconsistent?
We'll get to the last one quickly. Lester from Hermitage has a question for D-Mays. What's up, Lester?
Oh, man, it's Wes in Hermitage. I think I said my name weird whenever he was putting my name down.
Sorry about that, Wes. Go ahead.
I had to correct you. No. I had to say that because, you know, on Fridays I come in strong. So I got a good one for you, D-Mays.
Okay.
So, you know, I live stream a lot. I meet people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I've got a large group of friends that are not American. Mm-hmm. And I had my best friend come up to me and said, you know, I really appreciate that you use certain Spanish words whenever you speak to us. And, you know, we just wanted to let you know that you saying grande just hits us different. And he told me that it just means a lot to them. Mm-hmm. That went over your head, D-Mays?
Yeah, that one did go over my head.
That's not even what grande means.
Yeah.
He said he really appreciates me saying grande in all my sentences because it means a lot to them.
Oh, anyway. Yes. Okay, now I got it.
Yeah, you know, we tried to slip that in there, man. It's all good. Not all of them.
No, I got it now.
But my question for you is, I keep hearing people say, you know, we have to draft an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And we have to drop a wide receiver, but we don't want to overpay. But the way I look at it is we're going to have to overpay in free agency regardless. So my question is it better to overpay for an offensive lineman and draft a wide receiver or draft an offensive lineman and overpay or vice versa? Like, which one is better off?
Oh, man, that's a
thanks
good question.
Thanks,
that is a
thanks,
good question.
Because
those are two expensive positions.
Yeah.
Especially the way the market's going for wide receivers.
Okay, let's put it like this because – I think it was Tim. We had Tim on. It may not have been this go around, but one. And he talked about the hit rate compared, you know, the comparables as far as hit rate. Yeah, offensive linemen, receivers. What is the hit rate on all of those positions? And it seems like, if I do remember, he said the hit rate for receivers are a little bit low in the first round. So if you can, unless it's just one of these three guys that you believe are no-brainers, you take them. But then outside of that, you can still get that receiver in the second round. You don't have to reach and get him in the first round, mm-hmm. because more than likely he will not be a hit. So why waste the first round pick on that guy if he's not a top two or three at his position? So with that being said, I would spend the money on a receiver in free agency. A young receiver that has shown his worth in his league, 26, 27 years old. Yeah, I pay him. As opposed to, and you wouldn't have to pay, obviously, the receiver, but it's the draft pick that you would be mm-hmm. taking. I would rather take that tackle, that offensive lineman, with the draft pick, and then if I can get a guy in the second round or third round, more preferably in the second round wide receiver, I take him. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to spend the money in free agency to get that wide receiver that I know is going to be more than likely, he's going to be a hit because I've seen him over the, you know, course of a 4 or 5 year period.
Right. And it could be different every year.
Exactly. Every year is different. And that's a good question because some teams sort of, you know, some teams, like I've always said, some teams value positions. Well, all teams value positions different. Titans may not value the receiver position as other people do. They may start doing it now because the new change with the head coach and the GM, but the history says they don't value receivers mm-hmm. in regards to the price that other teams do.
Appreciate everyone for getting those questions in for D. Mace. But coming up next, it's like a change in college football happens every 13 seconds, and if you don't keep up with it, you're going to be caught behind. And there's another change, and I feel some type of way about it. We'll discuss coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.